The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, you come to us through the parables that your Son Jesus teaches us. Help us to always seek to go deeper in them, to imagine how we might find ourselves in them. Reveal your truth to us. Help us to always look for you in the teachings of your Son and in the world around us. Amen. I wanted to preach to you about the reading from Joshua this morning, about the call to choose this day whom you will serve between the God of Israel and the gods of the culture in which you find yourself, about what it means to proclaim with Joshua in that well-known line, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Holy Spirit has a way of pushing me towards something else that she wants me to preach sometimes, and this week was one of those weeks. Because as the week wore on, I found myself drawn more and more to those bridesmaids and their waiting and waiting and waiting. As we were waiting for election results that were slow in coming forth. Just like the circumstances of the pandemic made much about the election unusual this year, the circumstances of these bridesmaids was far from normal. Because we are separated from their story by time and culture, it's easy to assume that the circumstances Jesus describes were normal. But biblical scholars, much more familiar with the context in which Jesus lived, agree that these were not normal circumstances for a wedding. It was normal for bridesmaids and guests to wait at the bride's family's home for the groom to arrive. But there was nothing normal about him arriving in the middle of the night. He was delayed for many hours for an unknown reason. So even the setup for the parable is a strange one. And there's much in the parable that disturbs and conflicts with our understanding of who Jesus was and what his priorities were. The bridesmaids, called wise, were those who refused to share what they had with others. The story ends with those who brought what would have been enough for a normal circumstance shut out in the dark. Common interpretations of this parable tend to focus on this as a story of Jesus' second coming, with Jesus as the bridegroom, bringing those who have prepared adequately for that time
due to their acts of devotion. And I could stand here and tell you that you have to be really good and pray really hard so that when Jesus comes back, he lets you into heaven, except for the fact that this seems radically in conflict with the Jesus we see in the Gospels, the one drawn to the poor and the outcast, who seeks out the lost, who seems to have little regard for the religious leaders of his day who said and did all the right things. The standard interpretation of this parable falls apart a little more, with the understanding that the Gospel of Matthew was written after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, during a time in which religious leaders were trying to hold on to their Jewish identity. One thing that was critical to accomplishing this was the edging out of groups like the New Jesus Movement. The thing about parables is that even if there is one standard interpretation, this can never be the only interpretation. One of the things that has kept us returning to Jesus' parables again and again over the millennia is that there is always more meaning to be found in them each time we return. And as we give ourselves permission to see ourselves in different characters in the story. One famous example of this is in the interpretation of the parable of the prodigal son from Luke's gospel. Do you see yourself in the son who longs to live his life, squanders his inheritance, and returns home seeking his father's compassion? Do you see yourself in the ache of the father over his son's departure and the joyful acceptance upon his return? Or perhaps in the dutiful older brother who never strayed and resents the celebration for his wayward little brother? There is spiritual wisdom, new spiritual insight to be gained by imagining ourselves in each of these positions. And the same holds true for the parable of the bridesmaids. The common interpretation wants to pit us in the role of the wise bridesmaids who came ready, who have done right, not dissimilar from the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. And it's a nice place in the narrative to occupy when we imagine Jesus as the bridegroom who invites us into the wedding banquet with him, or as the interpretation goes, brings us into heaven for our good behavior. You know, the ones who followed the example Jesus talks about when he says, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did to me." This passage comes just a handful of verses after the parable we heard this morning, making it quite possible that there's something more going on in this parable than meets the eye. Those bridesmaids called wise are done so with a word that could also imply crafty, like the serpent in Genesis. Not only not sharing what they have, but sending the bridesmaids with no oil away so that they miss the moment of the bridegroom's arrival. It's shrewd, certainly, but it's a wisdom, a savvy that proves itself to be at the expense of others. The kind of wisdom of this world that Paul says is foolishness to God. Why did those with enough oil refuse to share? Why did they send those who did not have enough on a fool's errand to get more, when this would not have been possible in the middle of the night? Why did they not tell the bridegroom those others were coming and ask him to hold the door? As I was writing my sermon, the results of the election were still unknown. But one thing was already clear, that the turnout for this election, the number of voters, was higher than any other in the history of the United States. And though I know not everyone has the same opinions about her, it was coming across a tweet about Stacey Abrams that made the importance of this gospel for us today click in my mind. Though Abrams was far from the only person working to ensure voter access around the country, after losing the governor's race in 2019, she refused opportunities to seek other public offices so she could work to expand access to voting in her home state. A tweet shared widely last week invited readers to imagine losing a race, and then rather than get angry and quit, you put your energy into making sure it doesn't happen to the person behind you. That's what Stacey Abrams did. She not only opened the door, she held it open. Those bridesmaids who had enough oil, they may have been wise in the ways of the world, but that's not the kind of wisdom to which we are called. Clutching tightly to what is ours, sending away those in need, letting the door shut on them, not speaking for those who have been shut out, this is not the wisdom of Jesus. Jesus makes this clear in his discussion with a rich young man when he tells him that what he needs to enter the kingdom of heaven is not to follow all the rules and commandments, but to give away all he has to the poor. The rich young man can't fathom this and walks away because to him, access to heaven is something he's concerned about attaining for himself. But for Jesus, again and again and again, it's about making this world more like the kingdom of heaven here and now. Giving to the poor so that all have a taste of what it could be like, rather than storing it up for yourself alone. The goal is not to trick your way into the party, but to do what you can to ensure that all can share in the delight. This is how we walk in the way of Jesus. This is why we view giving generously as a spiritual practice, because not only does it help you shake free from the wisdom of this world that tells you that the good life is achieved by shoring things up for yourself, but in your giving, you are actively participating in creating a truly good life, abundant life for all people. One of love and joy and peace that's so much deeper than the fleeting ways of this world. The church has told us for too long that Jesus is the bridegroom who only lets in those who are good enough and slamming the door on those who haven't done enough. But what if that's not where Jesus is in the parable? Because most often in his ministry, Jesus surrounded himself with the people on whom the door was closed, opening wide the door of possibility and hope for them, proclaiming that another way is possible. What if we were to see Jesus in the people on whom this world has closed the door? And to be the ones to hold it open. And the more we hold that door, the more we get to experience the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. Amen.